Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Milner checks second. Fires home, and the pitch is lined towards the middle off of Simeon's glove on a dive into center field, a base hit. Schumann rounds third. He comes home and scores. Pareda stops at second. A line drive RBI single for Jacob Wilson on a ball that Marcus Simeon almost was able to snag with a dive.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Well, when they hit like the Rangers do, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very, very fair assessment. The Texas Rangers lose 3-0 to the Sacramento A's. The Athletics, as they're just called. You know, honestly, though, their odds of making the playoffs haven't really changed all that much, despite the fact that they can't hit right now and that we are a month in the season. They're only a few games back in the division, you know, and this is about the time where you can start to get a fair assessment on teams, on players, on where they are. They lose 3-0. They didn't hit the ball particularly hard. They only got 3 hits the entire game. A very depressing series for them, and now they get a really solid pitching Seattle Mariner team coming to town that is in first place.
Yeah, they're in a position that's not exactly ideal. Offensively, the way that they've been hitting and some of the struggles that they've run into. But look, I don't know what's the easy fix for this. They've obviously, we mentioned earlier, they've sent Jake Berger down, their first baseman DH. And so now they're going to bring up Blaine Krim, a career minor leaguer, 28 years old, who's had some success at AAA Round Rock, will be making his MLB debut. But they're clearly just looking for any sort of a spark right now. And hopefully they'll get it with Corey Seager coming off of the IL this weekend.
So on, on March 28th, the Rangers had a 61% chance of winning the American League West. Houston had a 58% chance. And Seattle had a 53% chance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Rangers are at 46%. Houston is at 59%. And Seattle's at 75%. This is on FanGraphs, their chance, their probability of making the postseason through the AL West.
Mm.
So it's about a coin flip as to whether or not the Rangers get in there. But let's look at...
Real quick.
Go ahead.
Over the last 18 games, how many times have the Rangers scored 2 runs or fewer?
Over the last 18 games? 12.
11. It's 2 out of every 3 games. And if you were to reduce that down to how many times have they scored more than 4 runs in their last 18, it's 3. So 15 out of 18, they've scored 4 or fewer.
So there are, I love looking at, again, we talked about this earlier, other people's misery.
Mm-hmm. OPM.
Right? OPM, OPD, other people's drama. So Marcus Simeon is off to an awful start this year, which is somewhat normal for him. He's not the hottest starter in general.
No,
a couple years ago, he had 43 games without a home run to start the year. But he's never been this bad of a hitter from an average perspective, right?
Yeah, typically for his career, let's see what he hits in April. I would bet for definitely since he's been in Texas, it's been really low.
He's probably generally below 220 in April.
So for his career, April is his worst month. He hits 239 for his career.
Okay.
The other months of the season, 269, 251, 249, 258, 259. So he's definitely a second half hitter. His slugging percentage or his OPS between first and second half for his career is about 70 points higher.
So let's make fun of some other players that are off to slow starts. All right. Gunnar Henderson. Now, he robbed Josh Jung of Rookie of the Year. We all know that.
Yep.
Robbed him. Finished fourth in MVP last year. He appeared primed for a superstar. He debuted on April 4th, missed a couple of games with a strained intercostal muscle. I hate those intercostal water muscles.
Yep.
Yeah, and the waterways. I don't like intercostal waterways either.
Ugh, nobody does. A 9 war last year.
His strikeout rate has ballooned to 28%. His walk rate's at 5%. Both are career worsts. His whiff rate on off-speed pitches are 50%. 44% against breaking balls compared to sub 30% in both categories last year. Oh, boy. Gunnar
Henderson.
Take that,
you loser.
Take that. Let's go down to Houston. Let's make fun of Houston. Ha, ha, ha.
That's easy to do. What, are we going to make fun of the fact that their leadoff hitter can't run in from left field, so he's not their leadoff hitter anymore?
I got to tell you, I was disappointed in Brett Boone. I was disappointed in Brett. Here's the story. Peyton, tell me what you think about this. So Altuve said, I wanted to be moved off the leadoff spot because when he's at home, he starts in left field, he's got to run all the way into the dugout. And he goes, that extra 10 seconds, just mentally, I just can't get ready to hit. To be the leadoff guy, because now they've got the shortened the time clock in between.
Can't you just do, like, you walk up to the plate and immediately go time?
No, you only get, like...
Can you start a game calling time?
I suppose you could.
So you can do that every time.
Yeah, I suppose you could, but... Is that a little soft on Altuve's part?
It's a lame excuse.
It's a lame excuse!
Well, it's even more lame that he's still out there in
what
the outfield.
What position did you play in high school baseball?
First base.
Ah, crap.
But well, you were a leadoff hitter.
Well, you could have walked. You could have crawled to the dugout.
Well, unless we were on the third base side, then it's a longer walk. But no.
Where do they put the bad kids on
right
defense?
Field.
Right field. Right field. Did you ever play any right field, Peyton?
Maybe little league, but that's because I had a strong arm. I mean, you know,
well, you had a strong arm. So three at first base because the noted strong arm position.
Yes.
There you go.
Were you a lefty at first?
So I bat left, you know, and swing golf left as well. But I throw right.
You swing golf. Did you notice in high school that golf hurt your swing, hurt your baseball swing? Or did you not play golf in high school?
I didn't really play golf.
That's why Luca won't swing, right?
Yeah, my son doesn't want to.
He wouldn't swing the golf club when we were top golf for Byron Anderson and Tarleton's event.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it. He goes, I don't ruin my swing.
That's smart.
I have no idea. Like I was a righty golfer, but a lefty hitter, so it didn't bother me.
I want to see if I can find Peyton's high school stats. Oh, you were JV.
They have stats?
They have stats for me?
They have your bio. It says JV. You were number 25?
And maybe my first JV year. I don't know, sophomore year.
2011, it says.
Huh, interesting.
I'm going to find you. Yeah, I'm going to find your stats,
bro.
That
was freshman year.
Yordan Alvarez. Let's go to Houston. He is hitting 219. He's only got three home runs. He has not feared hitters. His slugging percentage is 220 points lower than his career average. The issue has been against fastballs. He's batting 186. Against fastballs. His average exit velo still ranks in the 94th percentile, but this hard hit rate is a career low, under 46%. So let's make fun of him.
What a loser.
Ha ha! Dylan Cease, that's a pitcher, 6 starts. His ERA is pushing 6. His whip is 1.62.
I'm curious about, like don't we just, I don't know, Dylan Cease feels like one of these guys because he's obviously been somebody that has been tied to the Rangers a few different times during his career. And I really like him. I wanted him here. But do we have a feeling at all that Dylan Cease is kind of like just the guy we're always waiting for it to...
Yeah.
Like, is he...
He's A.J. Burnett.
Or like Matt Garza.
Yeah, Matt Garza, Burnett.
Where it's like, you just feel like, shouldn't this guy... Like, this guy should... He's like just short of like
such great stuff.
Yeah, or like
electric.
This is probably an offensive comparison to make if I was going to compare him to a name from back in the day because this guy really never got as close as it. But like, you remember how Chris Benson used to be that way?
Oh, God.
Like Chris Benson was like the top pick and he had Anna Benson.
Yep. You know who it is.
But Chris, who?
Nate Eovaldi.
But Eovaldi's done it in the postseason.
Right. But in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, that's fair.
People were waiting on Eovaldi. They're like, this guy's got great stuff. He's like, when he is on, he's got the best stuff of the game. And he was either hurt a lot or he just didn't live up to it. he bounced around, and then finally, like that 2018 postseason with the Red Sox. Ever since then, Nate Eovaldi's like he's figured himself out.
Dude, Cease's numbers earlier in his career, like the first 5 years or so, they are much more similar, the peripherals anyway, to Chris Benson than I would have thought. But I was just thinking of a name of a guy who it's like, why is it, everybody just thinks he's going to become, but AJ Burnett's a good name, Matt Garza, like that feels like Dylan Cease's career.
Yeah, it does. ESPN has their power rankings out. Mets are first, Dodgers, Yankees, Padres, Cubs, Giants. That's a lot of NL in your top six, five of the top six, seven of the top nine, because you've got Detroit at seven, Philly at eight, Arizona at nine, and then you finally got the Red Sox at 10. Seattle is at 11. Houston is at 12. The Rangers come in at number 15.
Right, and what, they were 10 last week? Yeah, so they've had everybody just agrees they've got to start hitting.
They rank in the bottom five in the majors in average runs per game. That's included with their 15-run outburst on Tuesday. They had six straight games and scored four or fewer runs. They won a few of those thanks to the pitching staff, but outside of Wyatt and Josh Smith, they're just not getting enough production at the plate, and Marcus Semien heads the list of players who are struggling.
Where would you go look for help? Are you just looking in the minors at this point? Calling up guys like Krim, maybe giving Evan Carter another shot? Where are we finding any sort of help at the plate at this moment?
I still think we're a month away before anybody even thinks of trading a player. So you're going
But as you're kind of just like taking a look ahead, what do you look at and just say?
You're going to have to go to the minors because I don't think you're going to get anything.
So over at ESPN, did you see the David Schoenfield article last week about early MLB trade deadline candidates?
I don't think I saw it.
Okay, so David Schoenfield had this up where he gave like a trade candidate for every team. So we've got some of the names that are up here that he listed for each team that could be made available. White Sox, you've got Luis Robert. Could be up there. Pittsburgh Pirates, Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah, but you don't want to introduce him into this locker, right?
No.
Josh Bell for the Nationals is a name that's up here. Nolan Arenado for the Cardinals. These are just some of the names that they're throwing up there of guys that could be available who contributed. Like Marcelo Zuna for the Atlanta Braves. So some of the names that are out there. But, I mean, I guess that's sort of where you're going to have to look, is going to have to be the trade market here in a month or two. A Bo Bichette from Toronto. These are just guys who could be made available according to ESPN.
According to CBS News, they have identified the Pirates fan who fell from the stands.
Oh, did they?
It's K-A-V-A-N. Kavan Markwood. He's 21, critically injured. He was a standout. He graduated high school in 2022. He was a standout football player. He went on to play for Walsh University, and then he went to a school in West Virginia. But he was a team MVP as a senior, took home all conference honors as well. He is in critical condition, fighting for his life. This is sad.
I mean, it's just still bizarre, the video. If people haven't seen it, he takes this aggressive tumble over the front where it's like you can't tell, all right, was this somebody jumping? Was this somebody who was pushed? Was this somebody who's just drunk and lost their balance? It's a wild video to see, and just him like head over heels flipping.
Sad. It's sad. Like, it was, I want to see, I haven't seen more videos of it other than the one from a distance. His girlfriend was there with him. I heard a lot of reports, but I hope he survives this and is not long-term injured.
Apparently, the Pirates also yesterday took a moment before the national anthem and acknowledged what happened, and they provided a statement from the owner, and they thanked first responders who helped assist injured fan.
Mike Trout is on the DL. IL.
Oh, my gosh. It's Groundhog Day.
He was running out a grounder to first, and he lunges for the bag and twists his knee. So, we'll see him in July.
See, that's the thing. You can put him in left. You can put him in center. You can put him right. It doesn't matter where you put it. He's going to have something happen.
They said, hopefully it was scar tissue breaking up. Come on, guys. We've seen this. We've seen this enough. We know exactly what it is.
That sounds similar to the Roma. Like, well, I hope that's just a cramp.
It's a cramp.
Hopefully that's a cramp for Mike Trout.
From Dak. From Dak.
From Dak. His leg. Snapping his leg.
All right, there we go. A little Diamond Cavs for you here on 105.3, the Phantom, RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, KNC Masterpiece, coming up next. That's coming up in 20 minutes here on the Fan. Let's get you set for Stars Avs game 7 tomorrow night next.
Shot through a screen by McKinnon, gets blocked.
TNT with the call. Stars lose 7-4, game 7 tomorrow night. We got a potential man card violation here.
Is it?
Bobby brings into the studio a bag of Gushers.
Which are so good.
It's a big bag, too. This is like the 35-pack.
Big bag. Mm-hmm. And then Peyton's like, ooh, you better not bring them in there without giving me some.
Yeah, he was like, give me one.
So
he was,
just one.
So Bobby walks in there and feeds Peyton like he's like the Prince of Egypt. You know, getting the grapes fed.
I had a bag, and it was the rest of them, so I just said, open up, and I dumped the rest of the Gushers in there, and that's why when he was coming back reading, it had been like a good 90 seconds, which should have been enough time, but they're Gushers, and they stick to your teeth, so he had to rush.
I'm not a fan of the Gusher.
Oh, dude, they're good. Have you not? When was the last time you ate them? I bet it's been forever.
I was probably 10.
Oh, my God.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Gosh, oh. You can't judge that. They're so good.
That was like the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Peyton. It was.
They didn't even have the little stuff in the middle of it, you know?
I'm sure they had the stuff in the middle of them, okay? That's why it's a man card. I don't know. I just feel like...
Anything called a gusher is just...
Gusher. It's just... I don't know that...
So when he says, you better come in here and feed me your gushers, and
those are adults, I don't know. Like, all right, Sour Patch Kids, I'm cool with.
Let us know on the fan text what you think. I think they're delicious. Choppy does it.
I'll have to try one. I haven't had one in 30 years.
Well, easy. Peyton ate the rest of mine, so.
Oh, he ate the rest of them?
Oh, yeah. No, this is the end of them, so I just dumped them in his mouth. But there's some in the snack shop downstairs.
All right, very nice, very nice. Sean and RJ here, 105 through the Fan. Stars lose 7-4. Tomorrow night is game 7. Yes or no, will we see Miro in the series?
No. No, we will not.
I agree.
We definitely will not. We're for certain not going to see Robo.
For certain not.
But the only question was Miro, and I don't think we're going to see him here. You'll see him next series, I would guess.
If not game 7, then it's like, well, when? You know?
I would guess next series we'll see him, if they win.
Yeah, because...
When they win.
Because here's the thing, like, you know, if he's not ready on Saturday, is he going to be ready on potentially Monday?
I think the idea is...
And by the way, could these...
Let's not ramp it like you'd want some sort of a ramp up. You wouldn't just want to be like, all right, drop him into the most physical, intense game of the series. Like, is he ready to go for that necessarily? Maybe not.
Yeah. By the way, the NBA, you got Pacers, their next series. I think it's... is it Pacers-Knicks? Anyway, that's starting before some of the other series are over. Can we finish series before we start the next round?
Yeah.
Can that just be a rule in all sports that... You know, you don't start the next round until all the games in that round are done.
I like the idea because, I mean, to me, it seems odd to just, it's a little as silly to me as like we let the Dodgers play overseas and then go back to spring training and then come back and play the regular season again later. It's like, once we've already like committed to something, everything else before it should be done. Like, we shouldn't have more spring training games after the Dodgers play a regular season.
Right. Yeah, they shouldn't have to go back and play. I don't know. I just think that, like, you know, if just wait for all the series to be done so they can all start at the same time. That way you don't have a team getting a rest advantage, and that's also just so you don't have a team getting rusty.
Yeah. Which I know we've talked about. We've talked about All-Star Game tweaks recently. Yeah. And like you had a story in there recently about the NBA All-Star Game is looking to
They're considering doing the international game. And here's the funny thing. Or funny. I don't know if it's funny or not. But next year, and so 2026 when the game will be played, that is going to be right in the game's going to be on NBC. But that's also right in the middle of NBC's coverage of the Olympics, where it is, you know, U.S. versus the world.
Yeah.
So there's a tie in there. But is NBC really leaving the Olympics to go run the NBA All-Star Game? Especially when it's been so destroyed over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of a, you would think that would tie into, like that tie-in happening or that conflict happening, they wouldn't be about it, but I guess they could. I think
it's in, it's the Winter Olympics, so I think, is it in France? I think it might be in France.
Winter Olympics in 2026?
Yeah, I think it's in France.
It is in, Northeast Italy.
Oh, Cortina, the...
Yeah, Milano Cortina.
Yeah, so that's good. So there's a seven-hour time difference, so you're not going to get live events at that night, so I guess it doesn't matter if you're going to have the game on at night anyway.
Yeah, so you know what my tweak for the MLB All-Star Game would be, I've decided? Play it in the Field of Dreams every year. That's one.
So literally play the NBA All-Star Game.
No, my MLB All-Star. I said this is my MLB
All-Star Game. Oh, I didn't hear the MLB
My part. MLB All-Star Game tweet.
Play the Field of Dreams. Okay.
Play the Field of Dreams, and it's just the Dodgers against the best players in the world. So you pick an All-Star team to play the Dodgers and see if they could win.
Oh, my God.
That's what I would do.
That's what you would do?
Yep. Because, I mean, the Dodgers are basically going to be one of the All-Star teams.
They are going to be basically half the All-Star team.
Yeah.
At least, anyway. Okay, so you remember the situation with Steve Smith.
Oh, yeah. Him and all those mirror selfies he sent.
All the selfies with him smiling from, like, the selfie being taken from below.
And the guy who called him, and you've been blanking
Antonio
my wife.
Antonio Martinez is his name.
He's what was Steve's reply to you've been blanking my wife? I'm sorry.
That's right. I'm sorry. So, Antonio Martinez is suing Steve Smith. He is suing Steve Smith, according to the Charlotte Observer, in what is being called... under North Carolina's home wrecker law.
They have that?
It's the alienation of affection law. They call it, it's officially dubbed the home wrecker law. This is like Seinfeld, the Good Samaritan law. But since Steve was having an affair with his wife, and it surfaced in February, and Antonio posted screenshots, the NFL Network analyst and marching band member met in September during production of an episode of The Most Interesting Jobs with Steve Smith. And in order to prove alienation of affection, he must show that Smith disrupted genuine love and affection that existed in the marriage. They texted back and forth for several months. And that's where Steve said, I'm sorry. But the home wrecker law, a spouse could sue a third party to seek damages for interfering with and destroying a marriage.
That's
six states that have this: Hawaii, Mississippi, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Dakota, and Utah.
Have you ever seen this famous mugshot? I'm going to pull it up for you. That falls sort of in line with this sort of a law. Have you ever seen this mugshot right there?
Oh, yeah. The Sinatra one.
Sinatra.
Very famous.
Do you know what it was for?
No.
Adultery.
Really?
So he was initially charged with seduction, which is a weird sounding charge. It's like, what is seduction? Back in the 30s, I guess, when he was arrested initially, that charge was... seducing a woman under false pretenses. They had laws for that. They said usually it was for like, baby, we'll get married, I'm gonna marry you, but and then like once you actually do the deed, you go, not gonna marry you, I'm sorry.
It's the clarity.
I made that up. So that's that you get seduction. Then it was found out she was already married, so he couldn't technically promise her marriage, so then he got hit with a separate charge of adultery, which was a $500 fine.
Was illegal. So but he didn't commit adultery, she did,
but he partook. He seduced her into adultery. It's a thing, I guess. I don't know. It's clearly a thing for Steve Smith. The fact that Frank Sinatra and Steve Smith still are getting hit by the same laws.
Dude, if I'm Steve Smith, I'm like, here's your $100,000, dude. I don't want any more of my text messages to get out.
Dude, they were so, or the pictures were so bad. Like the goofy smile on his face, everything like that. Oh my gosh! Now what charge is Bill Belichick gonna get hit with?
Well, it's not a charge, but
he needs one.
His daughter-in-law has entered the fray.
Really?
This is Steve Belichick's wife, Jen. All right, so Steve obviously is on his coaching staff now. He's the assistant coach, defensive coordinator at Washington last year. He was on Bill's staff in New England. He was the guy with that crazy tongue video.
Yeah.
He was doing whatever. I don't know what he was doing. But his daughter-in-law, so Julian Edelman had defended Jordan Hudson.
Wow, she is cute. Jen Belichick.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay. So Julian Edelman defended Jordan Hudson. And then Nikki Glaser, the comedian, agreed with Julian. It was like, people are out for blood. Well, according to TMZ, Jen Belichick chimes in with, quote, commenting on this Instagram post, quote, publicists act in a professional manner and don't storm off set, delaying an interview.
Let's go,
baby.
Is Steve not going to be on the sideline now next year? I mean,
they're probably the same age, right?
Close, I would guess. Yeah, because how old is Steve Belichick? Steve's in his 30s. And Jordan Hudson's what, 24?
24. But, you know, like, it's funny because, you know, she's got this $9 million portfolio now.
38. Steve Belichick's 38 years old.
She has a $9 million real estate portfolio. She's driving an $80,000 Porsche out of nowhere. So, you know, he's taking care of her. He's taking care of her quite well.
I think we're going to find when things end here. This is... you remember those candies back in the 70s, the little caramel candies that came on a stick? What were those called? Sugar something?
Sugar Pops?
They're called Sugar Daddies.
Sugar Daddies?
Yeah.
Sugar Daddies?
You think that might be the case? I'm just saying, I enjoy the candy Sugar Daddies. And well, I think Bill Belichick does too.
Speaking of candies and Sugar Daddies and all the things, they found out what Jordan Hudson's mom does.
What? I can't wait to hear.
She owns a adult toy shop in Hancock, Maine.
Like Lincoln Logs.
Parents ran a fishing business that went bankrupt, but then apparently the mom manages a toy shop and museum.
We've exhausted our fishing shop options. Let's go.
And I got to be honest, like, is there, like, what is a red flag job that, like, the girl you're dating's parents own this and it's a red flag job? Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Ooh, so for not me, even her.
Massage parlor? Yeah.
Red flag. Yeah, it's not necessarily her. It's like, what, your parents own this. I'm not getting involved with someone who owns a exotic nightclub.
Right.
I feel like you could just disappear. Like, I'd much rather be in with the mafia. A mafia daughter or a drug lord daughter.
I was about to say, I don't think I want to get involved in the daughter of an olive oil business owner. I wouldn't want that.
See, I think because they try to keep the low profile because they don't want attention. They only worry about their own.
Yeah, and I guess in that sense, Carlo didn't have the issue. It was Carlo ended up taking out Sonny.
Right.
So it really was the olive oil family that got taken out by the son-in-law.
But man. I don't think I want any part of like the owner of an exotic nightclub.
So that's one. I don't know. I feel like if you own, maybe you're like a taxidermist thing or whatever. Nothing wrong with the hobby or anything in general.
Yeah.
I just don't know if, like, does the kid grow up a little odd?
Yeah. I don't want anything that has like saws that could like take my body apart.
Yeah. So if they own a morgue.
My guy Scooter just texted if they own a morgue.
Or like a funeral home or something. Like,
yeah, embalming, they can embalm you.
That's a little odd.
No one will ever know. They can cremate you whenever they want to.
Yeah, who knows, like, if they grow up totally. That's more just about, I don't think that's necessarily a red flag for, like, who they are as a person, some of that stuff we just mentioned. It's more just like, did that make them a little bit of an oddball? Like, are you going to find out they have weird quirks or something like that?
But, you know, so Peyton's in on the massage parlor.
I feel like if their parents owned, like, a Portland coffee shop. Like, they may have grown up a little hippie. So, like, I'm going to find out she has hippie
Why
tendencies.
Why Portland? Why not Seattle?
I'm just thinking Northwest in general.
Pacific Northwest coffee shop?
Yeah, Pacific Northwest coffee shop. I was thinking Portlandia, maybe.
Portlandia. Yeah. Very nice. All right, there's a little Bill Belichick update. Steve Smith update, Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. That is next on the Fan.
Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece is here, has arrived on 105.
This should be fascinating.
Should be. That is the voice of Kevin Hagelin. What do you got on the show today?
Well, obviously, right out of the gate, we'll talk about the craziest period of playoff hockey we've seen in some time and, you know, how we can't clear the puck out of the crease.
Can't.
And, yeah, believe it or not.
But Corey is not here today.
That's true. I probably should have told you ahead of time. Just let it be. Like, just he needs to take the day off for personal reasons, and you should just let it leave it at that.
Oh.
Yes, trust me on that.
We weren't about to make fun of him.
Okay. Yeah,
we've got our own guy to make fun of.
Okay, that's a good point. But at 11:30, you're not going to believe me when I tell you, Frankie Muniz is going to be on the show.
The NASCAR driver.
Malcolm? Malcolm in the Middle. He NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series driver. He'll be in Texas Motor Speedway racing tonight.
Yeah. Is he going to be here?
No, he's going to be on the phone.
Oh, wait a second. Good. That's this weekend.
I mean, it, like I just said, it's tonight.
No, I live there. Like, that means I can't go anywhere.
Mm. That's true. Where are you going to go?
I would like to go somewhere.
Like where?
Like leave my house?
Do you think,
not fight the traffic?
We were talking about
it's not as bad as it used to be.
We were talking about this when we were Anna the other day. So Anna has exploded. It went from Yeah. It went from under 1,000 when I first moved here to in 2010, it was up to 8,000 people. 2020 census was up to 17,000. What the mayor tells us, it's up to 30,000 right now, they think.
Yeah.
I think he said their estimate is it's up to 30,000 people in Anna now. So by the next census, it'll probably double again.
Be 50, yeah.
So we were talking about that, and it just started a conversation of, it feels like the Metroplex has built as far south as they want to go.
Yeah.
And it feels like once they got a little past the Speedway, they were like, we're not going too far past the Speedway. Because there's just people, once you get past the Speedway, that's not what we're doing. They built as far east, I feel like, as they would. I think we really have north left to go, and that's why Anna, Melissa, Van Alstyne, like everything's just blown up east, or basically north and like northeast.
So my in-laws, they live past the Speedway in Paradise going out that direction, and I can confirm people have decided they don't want to go that far.
Well, I've been to Paradise. I wouldn't want to go there either.
Yeah.
The Speedway feels...
Hey, listen. Dos Chiles is a good spot.
I think just past the Speedway, I think they really established Justin, basically, that area, Justin, and everything just past the Speedway. And then they're like, ooh.
Rome's good. Aurora. You know, you get your was it not Aurora? Get out there.
I think they just decided, like, all right, right here, this is where...
Newark, as they say.
Are you just listing places from other states you remember?
No.
Okay.
The Metroplex is not going. I think they realized when they kind of established Justin really aggressively in the last 10 to 15 years, I think they're like, yeah, this is where the Metroplex needs to end here going west.
They did a terrible job with 114 to the speed to 35.
Until they built some more roads heading out way.
They got to build a mix master there. And
they've got to cut it off.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing today?
It's our fatty.
Fatty's in the house, man. I'll tell you what, that turnaround's no joke, but hey, we're here.
Yeah.
I was telling Kevin, at least the traffic wasn't bad.
That's good.
I'll take that.
Nobody cares Friday morning. We've given up.
Friday morning?
Yeah. Nobody cares. They're like, maybe I'll go to work. Maybe I won't.
All right. So, Bobby, what is
okay,
this?
Okay. Here's
Bobby
what
Bobby brought
to
something
do.
To attention.
Oh, my God. This is going to be so dumb.
During the break, no, because I was right. During the break, Fred was making his coffee because he's in here. He doesn't know how to function hosting before 7 p.m. So he's in here. He's got to get the coffee loaded up.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. He's a working man. He's usually out there grinding
doing
during the day.
Doing something, God knows what.
So he's got the coffee maker, and he's doing the creamer packet, and it looks exactly like every dipper I've ever known, the way they hit the skull of a can. It's the same motion. It's the same hand positioning, the wrist, everything else. And you were trying to say, everybody does it that way. I'm going to show you not everybody does it that way. So I gave you a creamer packet, RJ. I want you to show me how you generally shake the creamer packet before you're getting ready.
Well, I wouldn't shake the creamer packet. It's already...
So you wouldn't do it.
I thought you were talking about like one of those little...
No.
We're talking about the actual...
Whereas if I've got the creamer, I'll do this or something like that. I'll shake it up just in case there's anything that's settled.
Can you describe what you just did?
Yeah, I'm holding up a shell listening.
Okay.
Like I'm kind of doing that, only I'm shaking it.
I just sat here like this as I was
locked
into something.
Dippers smack the... That is the wrist of somebody who...
That's it.
That's what I'm telling you. That's the same way you hold the can of Skull and you pop it with your finger. Oh, you needed to use some creamer?
I bite into it and then...
Oh my gosh, what a set. Wow. Why would you do it
you
like that?
You are the worst at that.
That is a mess.
You do that?
Yeah, that's what I do. I got a bigger hole than I expected for.
I guess so.
What's that now?
Jeez. No, that is legitimately a mess you just made right there.
Yeah, it is a mess.
But I'm telling you, that's a... So the dippers, for those that don't know, they'll usually... Every single one I've ever known, they hold the can between their thumb and their middle finger, and then they've got the index finger, and they shake it, and they pop
that can.
And I asked Fred, I said, do you dip? When I just saw him shaking the creamer, and he looked kind of caught off guard. He said, I used to. I'm telling you, I know what the look is, and he had it.
It's very interesting you bring up dipping, because I saw a story this morning.
He also looks like a barbed wire tattoo guy.
Okay, here we go.
Are you a barbed wire tattoo guy?
No, but he looks like one, doesn't he?
Of course I'm not.
Look, you and I are the same age. We know what barbed wire tattoo guys look like.
We do, yeah.
Okay? I am not one.
They look like Pam Anderson.
Thank you.
That's what they look like.
That's exactly what they look like.
So I saw the story this morning, though, because we were talking about dipping. Yeah. And apparently, teenage use of those nicotine pouches is like doubling every single year for the last like 4 years. Yeah, it's going nuts.
Yeah, I think G-Bag's propping them up.
Probably are. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my kids. My kids have not developed any bad food habits. They don't eat anything. Well, they've developed bad food habits. But no bad drinking habits. Like, all they drink is water. They're scared of everything else.
God bless you.
I am waiting for the first Zyn to make it.
Hey, come on.
It's happening.
The first Zyn is coming.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, how old's your kid?
15 and 12.
Freshman baseball player.
Chances are the 15-year-old's already done one.
Come on.
I'd be stunned.
I do the don't ask, don't tell.
Look, I get it. I got a 17-year-old son, so I understand it.
It's fascinating.
Have you had the birds and the bees talk yet? Have you had that talk?
No, we have not.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah, but he knows his kids have seen porn. So they get it?
No, but you need to have that. No, you need to have that talk, Kevin.
You said that on air before.
Did you? No, did you hear?
Yes.
So I don't know if you guys heard this. We recorded some great content with Luca and Julian at Chop's like wedding celebration, and we were barred from using any of it. Not allowed to use any of it.
The ex-wife stepped in. Mom stepped in.
She was
probably for good reason.
I respect it.
So you listened to the audio, right?
I did not. I listened to most of it. Yeah.
Which do you think had a better chance of making it to air, Julian's or Luca's?
Julian's is good.
Luca's was the one that was the Luca freelanced. I was very impressed with him.
You can't freelance like that.
Because you've always told me Julian's kind of the comedian or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But you also said that Luca kind of wanted to do the podcasting stuff. Yeah. And when I heard him freelance with you, some of the stuff, I teared up listening to it. I was like, I was very proud.
Oh yeah.
I was like, wow, he took just a little seed and he grew that into a content tree. I'm so proud of him.
I'm not sure that he's tried it yet. Cause he won't even try Gatorade. Like he puts nothing. Oh, he won't even try it. Like he's scared of.
Wow.
He won't even. If I ask him to grab me a beer from the fridge, he gets a napkin and puts it around the beer. He thinks he's going to get.
What a great cover he's
alcohol
got.
Alcohol through osmosis
Dude,
or something like that.
How strong is this guy's cover that he sold this to Chop this well? But like, that's a good idea. Like,
it's a strong bit. It's a strong bit. Yeah, 15. He's so straight edge.
You know who was that way? It was Dez. No, I'm dead serious. Dez Bryant would not put anything in that. Like he was legitimately one of like these straight laced, like super health freaks. I think now that he's in retirement, he's probably eating a little more fast food and stuff. But I mean, he was super intense about what he would put in his body.
Okay. I mean, worked out for him.
Yeah, it did work out. Worked out well. I just can't get into with the nicotine pouches. Never could.
No. If we're not dipping, what are we doing?
So I saw this one. When you do your work emails,
mm-hmm.
do you put name, comma? Do you just go right into it?
Who am I emailing and for what purpose?
Just in general. It's just a work email. Because now, obviously, that's different. I saw a study that shows that people who put name, comma, they find that very rude.
Usually I see name, comma. I am thinking either formal and they don't know me.
Yeah.
Or they're punctuating something. They're wanting to. It's a little bit like per my last email.
Now, are you doing the name, the intro, comma, then the space, and then getting into the body of the email?
Yeah, Fred, comma.
See, what I do.
Fred, comma. Can I get an update on this? Okay. Question mark?
I'll tell you what I do.
That's too
Fred
short for a name.
Dash, or whoever I'm, you know, choppy, dash, and then get into the email. All the same line.
If I'm sending a mass email to everybody, audio or something, I just go like, hey, here's audio from out at Cowboys practice. Or I'll do something like that.
Yeah.
Typically. A lot of people do all.
Hi all.
Hey all. Or, yeah. Hey all. But they say that if you put name without a greeting first, instead of like,
I mean, what do we
hey,
do?
Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Oh, so Kevin, comma, and then
so
double
Kevin,
enter.
Kevin, comma, where are we with the guests? Or, hey, Kevin, comma,
yeah.
Where are we with the guests?
Okay, but I know you guys well enough. I don't need that.
That's serious. Yeah,
I agree.
If it was somebody exactly. who was like, hey, I'm trying to get an internship, and I'm like, we don't really do that.
Yeah.
But then I would be like, hey, give me a hey,
emailing,
Kevin.
Let's say you're emailing somebody in the IT department.
Didn't Peyton intern for you guys?
No, you were the one show I did not intern for because they were at nights.
All of our interns are now running.
Let's say you got a computer problem. Let's say you've got a computer problem.
Yeah.
And you want to email IT.
I would because I just like, I don't see them, but maybe once a year or something. So then I would put like, hey, Rick.
Hey,
or,
Rick.
Hey, Jim.
I always just say that. Hey, something.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Blank.
I would.
I don't just go name, comma. And then how do you end it? Do you end it with just your name?
Okay, I end everything either with thanks, comma, my name, or I end it with thank you, exclamation point, then my name.
I just put my name.
I go initials, Bill Belichick style.
Okay, I just put my name on the bottom, but again, unless I really know you, and then I end it with nothing. Please just get to the point, and then it's over.
Some of the responses here, I find that if you respond with the same level of abruptness, the person could feel as if you're being rude to them. If you end the email very abruptly or slightly abrupt, it's more to the point.
I'm a best regards kind of guy.
Oh,
best regards.
You best regards?
Yeah. That is fancy.
And then do you consider that you're, I don't have a signature at the bottom, like those.
Yeah. It tells you what.
Your business card. I don't even know what my business card looks like. But can that be used? Do you think that is used as your sign off? Or is that no good?
I mean, if we're talking a two line, I mean, who's getting their panties in a wad over a two line email? You know, I mean, especially if there's like a hey, I'm emailing you for a reason. Like if I'm wasting your time, hey, what's going? No, like if I've got a legit concern, like you said, in IT, like for instance, I need my password.
Reset.
I'm not going to send like some page long. Hey, IT, Fred.
I do feel like you have to include at least a single exclamation point in the email to come off as friendliness. Like, hey, like you got to give some pep behind it.
Hey.
But I mean, here's the thing. I do interpret like half of every email correspondence I get. I do probably just from my own dumb brain internalize it as like, oh, they're mad. Or they seem kind of rough. And then meanwhile, I was thinking about like, I think one out of every 100 emails I've ever sent myself is mad, though.
Yeah, sure. That's probably more than one. They all said the phrase, just checking in, is one of the worst phrases to use.
Don't use
the phrase, just checking
really?
In.
Yeah. Why?
Because you really know that you want something on the other side of that. You're not checking in anything.
No, it's a circling back here.
Okay. I do use circle.
Circling back here.
Yeah.
I will say circling back as like a ping. If I've come back and it's like, hey, we've said we were going to do this, like send a time, like if we're booking somebody, then I will, if it's a week, I'll go, hey, just wanted to circle back real quick, see if we're still good to do this, blah, blah, blah.
Which is another way of saying just checking in. Like, you're doing it for a reason.
Looking for the progress report here on this thing.
I mean, you know,
oh, man.
How do you have go-to quirks you use to be, like, passive-aggressive in your emails?
Because
we're talking about all these things we interpret as them, but do you use anything of, like, I want this to come off this way. I want them to maybe get the picture that I'm mad.
I prefer aggressive.
I feel like I feel like using a period in there, like thanks, period, and then my name, or like
that, just one line, thanks.
Now I thought about what it is. It's in the text message where you just put K.
Instead of okay.
I was like, I will voice my displeasure.
Grown man's using K.
I'm sorry, I do now.
Are you a K guy?
I do. Once I learned what it meant. Just for years, I had no idea there was a difference between okay and K. And now that I know, I'm like, I'm going to use it.
Lower or uppercase?
Uppercase, of course.
The lowercase K. See, now I will, if it's a single word reply, that may not mean I'm mad. If it's a single word reply and I put a period on the end of it, I'm upset.
I really want them to be able to do the backwards K. That's what I really want. If we could figure that one out. Like, you struck out with that.
You just were looking. That text struck out. You caught me looking.
You caught me looking. Casey Mashpeace next.